Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The United State. I'm Shade.
And I'm Rich.
And we're your hosts. We're really, really happy to be here. Thank you to Galagate Shots, as always, for taking care of us, putting us together, pumping out our content. We really appreciate everybody over there. They're great. So we've got another episode for you. We want to talk a couple current events beforehand. There's been some craziness happening since you and me last spoke, Rich. And since we spoke on the episode anyways, I talk to you pretty much every fucking day, but
it's a constant. I think our life now as Newcastle fans is refreshing Twitter and refreshing my Google or Safari and you have to say, okay, what's going on today? What's going on with the director of football, the manager, who's injured?
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's even funnier because that's been my life for a while anyways, but it's like, it's different now because it's sprinkled with so much optimism,
right?
And I'm just like, this is so weird. Like I try really hard to be optimistic all the time, but it's so easy right now.
It's so good. And it's quite nice because this like, it's our optimism fueled by hate by the Premier League. It's just like,
that hate that everybody's throwing at us just gives me more optimism because I'm like, I know. All scared.
Exactly, because Amanda Staveley just goes, I see your hate, I'll just raise you. You know,
it's like that tweet I tweeted a gif where it's Zombieland crying with
Woody Harrelson.
That's how I feel every day when somebody complains about us.
It's so funny because it's exactly what kind of Kevin Keegan did in the 90s. He was like, oh, so we can't afford you? Oh, I'm just going to go to Belgium and buy some players. I'm just going to go to, I'm going to go Philippe Albert and Pavel Cernicek,
do
a European raid, you know what I mean?
Because you brought that up, and, we will talk some of the current events right now.
Yeah.
Before we do that, though, we do want to mention that we are bringing Toon Army Portland on to this episode. So this is the Portland episode. We're really stoked to bring those guys on. We'll talk more about them in a minute. But because you brought it up, lots of things have happened. First and foremost, I see no scenario where, you might get it from some clubs, but there is no way that every Premier League club is going to boycott doing business with us.
No way. No way.
Coming off a pandemic when no one has any money.
No one's going.
Come on. You really... we might pay an extra $5 million and that's fine. I'm okay with that. I don't want to do that, but I'll do it, right?
But they'll do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Owners do that. The thing is, players want to play football. They want to play for us. Like, they want to be part of it. Sure, we're going to have some pushback. There's going to be some friction. And maybe the bigger clubs but the teams around us might push back a little bit. But if you offer an extra $3 million to Burnley, for a defender, Man United won't hesitate if we come in with a Van de Beek or a loan deal for Lingard
I personally really would like us to buy Lingard.
Sure. No, exactly.
I think he would be fantastic for us. I think he's affordable. I think that a £15 million deal to West Ham is probably a £20 to £25 million deal for us.
Right.
But still, first off, we're the richest club in the world. Second off, we paid $40 million for Joel Linton. $25 million for Jesse Lingard is a steal in my book.
100%. And even just the whispers of, we bought the club, right? And then obviously they're going through a process right now. So they know that they'll put their ducks in a row and go, okay, we need to pay Steve Bruce £8 million. We need to potentially pay... if they're willing to pay Unai Emery's Villarreal €6 million or whatever it was to get him out of his contract, they're willing to do it. They're just going to take that time. And I think obviously with PIF and PCP, they have to agree. And there was some reports saying that, they didn't agree on Eddie Howe or they wanted Emery, or I think it was a split decision. So, but I think Eddie Howe's impressed them throughout. They were obviously, you have to put yourselves in that position. Do you want to get this? How many times? Seven-time winner or your five-time winner UEFA Cup? Europe winner? Emery.
Well, I mean, we should talk about the how of it all. And you know, because you've already brought it up, and we have to touch base on that anyways. Sure. I mean, first off, anyone listening to us already knows that Eddie Howe is our new manager. We're not a breaking news podcast, but we talk current events and then we feature fans, right? But like, first off, just going off of everything that's happened in the past, 2 weeks, for me, right? And I even tweeted about this, we're in uncharted territory, there isn't one Jordy right now that hasn't had dollar signs in their eyes or pound note signs right in their eyes. Right. And so, I think it's understandable that, and I'm guilty of this. I'll be the first to admit it. I think it's understandable to kind of get carried away. Right. And a lot of other, a lot of our colleagues in Gallagher Shots brought this up, and they've had some great podcasts on just the how of it all. So definitely check those out if you haven't kept current on Gallagate Shots over the past week. But, it's totally normal to, you're thinking this way, you're thinking that way, we've got all this money, but realistically, and I was very, very sold on Unai Emery. 2 months ago, the only manager I wanted for Newcastle United was Eddie Howe. And I thought Eddie Howe could save us under Ashley, right? So now, I had to really think about that, because I'm like, Eddie Howe's not a bad appointment by any means. Like, no. He's exactly what we've wanted. And then I think about, so there's that, right? And then I also think about, the conversations that you and me have had, pre-takeover and post-takeover about who we would want to see kind of come into fruition. Mm-hmm. And I think, if you really, really did round out and average out all of the conversations, all of the ideas of potential managers that we've had, you really would get yourself an Eddie Howe, right? And I think that, I've been saying I want somebody hungry and young that has a vision, right, and that also has a backbone, because our squad has lacked a backbone for 2 seasons now, more so than I've ever seen. And I think that Eddie Howe's the man to do that. And so, I was already sold on that the minute I was 90% certain it was going to happen, right? And then when he came, and he was announced and he did his first press release and he said all the right things and he also acknowledged, and he was very transparent, and it was just like a press conference none of us are really used to or haven't been used to in a while. Right. And so I'm beyond ecstatic about Eddie coming in. I can't wait to see what he does with our squad. I'm excited for Brentford next week.
This week has been a really positive week for Newcastle, with everything with this, Amanda Staveley had an interview released.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Eddie Howe had a nice press conference. And then I saw some, he is first in, last out, which I love, at the training ground,
Which is exactly how it should be.
The fans are waiting for him outside the training ground,
Yeah, I mean, that's cool, but also crazy.
Yeah, I know.
It depends on who you are.
But basically, he's a really good ambassador for us going forward. And I think he answered well. And he's got, he's got a little bit of arrogance to him. We're going to play a certain way.
Yeah.
We're going to set out to win the game, not to see what happens and react.
Yeah.
And he knows that our defense is pretty shithouse. So he's going to try and absolutely maximize our any kind of threat that we have, and then he knows that they need to strengthen. And I think with the foreign, any kind of Fonsecas or Favres or Emery's, if they had come in instead, if we'd have gotten relegated, or if we get relegated, they'd probably say see you later.
And I was talking about this with a couple of our people in Toon Army San Diego last match day.
Right.
It's one of those things where, if you really think about, because I think that we're probably the closest to Emery coming before Howe did, right? I think out of everything that kind of came to be, I think that it came down to Unai Emery and Eddie Howe, which there were some reports about that. Mm-hmm. But also, you can kind of tell that we probably came the closest to Unai Emery, and then we got Howe, right? And so, but when you think about the Unai Emery of it all, is regardless of whether you think he had enough time or didn't have enough time at Arsenal, I personally don't think that he had enough time at Arsenal. Mm-hmm. He is seen collectively in the football world and in the, and by the media as a failure at Arsenal, right? Right. And so, like, there's that factor. Now, I do not agree with the you need a relegation scrap manager to save a team out of relegation, especially before January. I don't agree with that. I think that, you know, I think that if Fonseca or Unai Emery had come in, I think that if a world-class manager with a huge reputation, even Antonio Conte, I think that it is kind of silly to have that be your argument. Like, well, you know, I don't think that they're going to be good enough to steer your team. Like, yeah, it's the same squad. But you know what? Like, Bruce was able to keep us up. Rafa was able to keep us up. Yeah. And so, like, I don't agree with that because Rafa wasn't – I mean, I'm pretty sure Rafa wasn't in a relegation scrap in the Prem ever, was he? That I can think of, other than with us. And he only had 10 matches to save us, right? And he didn't.
Exactly.
But he only had 10 matches, right? And so, like, I didn't necessarily agree with that. But what I do agree with is if Unai Emery, regardless of whether he stayed with us or not, mm-hmm. after relegation, if Unai Emery relegates with Newcastle,
right.
his career in England, his comeback, his everything, it's too much to lose. He has too much to lose for that gamble. Whereas Eddie Howe has nothing to like, has really nothing to lose, but everything to potentially gain. Right.
Yeah.
And he wants it and he sees that. And that is what I've wanted from the get-go is a manager that understands our club, understands our fans, knows how to play with the squad that we currently have, has vision. But most importantly, I want a manager that doesn't have anything to lose because right now, as we reprove ourselves as this new giant that we are, we don't have anything to lose either. People have been bad mouthing our name for 14 years. They've been looking down on us. They've been pitying us and everything like that. And we've gone down twice under mm-hmm. Ashley, you know, we need a manager that understands, like, we're here to prove a point, but we've also got nothing to lose and we don't really need to play it too safe. We need to come out on guns blazing, but we need to come out smart. And we need to come out with vision and we need to have the fans behind us. And I think that Eddie Howe ticks all those boxes off.
Couldn't put it back myself.
Yeah, clearly I've had, you know, it's been a minute since we've done the last episode just with, I
couldn't.
Out of town, so we haven't had a chat. I've had time to think about this.
No, I couldn't agree more with myself. You know, we are on the same page. Obviously as we expand our reach across the US, we're just, love to hear some other opinions.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Brighton, we're at international break. International break's boring. I'm glad England did well yesterday.
But
it's international break. I would rather have a match. You know, we don't really need to talk about Brighton. There's been a week and a half of people that have been able to talk about the match. And, I think that we were really lucky to get a point, and really that's what it comes down to is
And we were rolling.
One thing I will say though is we could have won that only because Brighton played to our level. That was the only thing, you know, and that was unfortunate. And of course, you know, everything with Wilson and everybody's been harping about that. And I totally agree. But yeah, so like we won't get too much into the Brighton of it all. It's new days, it's new dawn. Eddie Howe's unveiled. Amanda Staveley gives amazing interviews. We have transparent owners. We have all this money. Eddie Howe's going to save us, and we're going to buy some awesome players in January. That's what we're looking there.
Exactly. And these even like little slight little digs before we get into the
Portland of it all.
The Portland of it all.
Yeah.
There's even little digs like in the paper that I think the one reporter was saying was comparing Amanda Staveley to the lion from The Wizard of
Oz. Yeah.
I was like, can you get any lower as a reporter? In a world of like, hey, we're trying to like cramp down on the hate here. Like a new journalist and a major newspaper just writes.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're exactly. You totally nailed it on the head. And we will talk about that for just a moment. First off, like I didn't even retweet even in a negative statement about that, because I'm not going to put that vile out into the public atmosphere. Right.
No.
Because one, it is vile. It's stupid. It's unnecessary, but it really is. It's just like, you know, everybody's like, oh, end hate, end this, end that, be equal and stuff like that. But you know what? Let's also, you know, physically, you know, not physically, let's also make negative comments about the physical appearance of a woman owner in football, right? Like a female owner, like, okay, let's do that. And also, like, clearly, you know, I forget what paper it was, like they had nothing else to put in that one column. So they needed some bullshit article, you know, they're like, how can we pull some dig at Newcastle out of our asses? And that's what it was. It was also dated because it's like the Wizard of Oz. Like, don't get me wrong, it's fine. If you like the movie, you like the movie. I don't care. That movie's old, you know, like that's like you couldn't have reached any further to try and salt the name that is Stavely and Newcastle United. And it's just utterly ridiculous and unnecessary. But, you know, I could harp on that all day. You know, I'm massively protective of our club, our new owners, and our supporters. And I will always jump to the defense of them until they give me a reason otherwise. But that's not why we're here. We're here to introduce all of you to Toon Army Portland out of Oregon. They've been going since about 2015. We have Brett Mason and Joseph Gardner joining us. Joseph Gardner, Joe. We're going to bring them on in just a moment, and we're super excited to interview them. So without further ado, here's Toon Army Portland. All right. As I mentioned, we have Toon Army Portland joining us, which I'm super stoked on. This is Brett and Joe. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks. Hello. Hi, thanks.
All right.
You know, so like I've actually never been to Portland. Funnily enough, Rich is in Portland right now.
Oh my gosh.
You enjoying the rain?
It's a complete polar opposite than when I left, because when I was left, it was like 85 degrees in San Diego. I was like, crap, coming down to cool off.
What's the name that runs the San Diego page?
Simon. Yeah.
Simon. Yeah. He texted something about how hot it was the other day. I'm like, yeah, you can go fly a kite because we're going to get drenched up.
It's
here.
Okay. You can tell Simon to go fuck himself. That's all right.
He's been on my tweet. He just laughed it up.
That's so
yeah, funny. I'm actually jealous of you guys today, and I know you're gonna hate me when I say this, but like we're having a heat wave this weekend, so it's like 90 degrees Fahrenheit right now. Like I'm gonna be hitting the breweries in the sun as soon as we finish this episode. Do you hate me? Yeah.
No, I don't blame you. You absolutely should. Yes, please. I have it for me. Yeah.
I'll tell you
well, you know, I'm glad that the reputation that I think most people have of Portland is actually ringing true right now as we have you guys on there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. But let's dive right into it. I'm really interested to know about you guys and Portland and how you guys operate. So I think before we talk about the Portland of it all, why don't we talk about how both of you became fans? I think we should start, you know, let's start with Brett. I want to hear how you became a Newcastle fan, and then you know we'll jump over to Joe right after.
All right, let's see. Back in the mid '90s, I was just starting into college. I'm from Iowa originally, so I was up at Iowa State, and the winters in the Midwest are brutal. So the only thing to do is either play video games or get into just bad stuff.
I'm from Illinois, so I can attest to that 100%. Oh, they're terrible.
So my friends and I would either play like video games, like either hockey, or then one day I latched on and I picked up a soccer game, and then we started messing around playing with that because of the World Cup in '94, and all of a sudden everybody just decided, let's all pick a team. One guy picked Liverpool just because of the Beatles, and I realized there's Newcastle. I'm like, hey, there's a beer that's from Newcastle, so there we go. And I just kind of.
So one and only.
Born from there. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. So from there, it's just kind of attached to it. Tried to follow it as much as I could, which was very little just because the access wasn't there. Yeah, so the mid-90s, the only thing you could really pick up was a rare game on like Fox Soccer Plus or some random channel like that.
Satellite.
Yeah. And the only things I would ever see really are like the championship replay matches. All of a sudden you're like, wait, they're playing where and who? And trying to figure out where all these teams are from and where all these cities are at.
Man, so, and this is all pre-internet as well, so it was even more difficult, right?
Yeah. Well, the internet was going, but it wasn't as robust as it is now.
Yeah, like the pre-internet as we know it is what I meant.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was very few and far between where I could pick up matches and then trying to find any info beyond, like, okay, there's a town in England called Newcastle upon what? And just trying to figure it out from there, so... Yeah, just understanding, learning the game from a professional level, and then seeing how the players and everything and interacting. And one thing I latched onto because of the coursework I was in, one of the grad students was Greek, and we had Dabizaz as a defender. So I had something to talk about with him, like we were doing like field work and stuff like that. So we just randomly talk about soccer where I could relate with him being a Greek, and I had a player that was on our team that was Greek. So it's like we had something to interact with. So it was just one of those connected points to connect with.
That's really cool. And it's like, you know, it's funny because, I mean, obviously, like this, you know, in the 90s, you know, FIFA wasn't as big as it was. Now and everything, like, obviously and everything. But it's like, I don't know how many people in the world realize how many Americans find their club through FIFA, right?
Yeah, and
obviously that's a much more contemporary thing now. But it's really crazy to think that was even a factor in the 90s when, like, you know, like, what? I don't even know what console were you using.
It was on. I think it was PlayStation.
The first one.
Yeah.
That's. I mean, that's crazy. Like, but it is true. It's how so many people find out about football out here, and it's something that, like, I think I'm sure I'll be corrected if I'm wrong, but I think that that is a very American thing, right? Because we're
still in
the football world, right? And the football culture. Yep. And we really do, FIFA really helped me learn the game too, because, you know, we didn't have NBC, we didn't have MyPL Mornings or NBC. Even when I was in college, right? And, you know, that, like, a lot of people don't realize too that how new, you know, MyPL Mornings really is, right? And, and so that's crazy. All right, so you found Newcastle through it wasn't FIFA then, was it Pro Evo or was it some other game?
No, it was an EA game. It was around the 94 World Cup. So before we all, like, we picked a national team and then we latched on to a English team. So that's kind of how it all evolved.
All right, so that's how it started. Gave you the bug.
Yeah. So then we moved out to Oregon. It was just life. You couldn't do – I picked up stuff every now and again. And then once we moved up from the central part of the state, from Eugene, we moved up to Portland. And once I had kids, once in a while, I drag my daughters. They would be like anywhere from like 5 and 2 years old. We go in on a random Sunday morning to one town. I drag them in like, hey, I'm buying you breakfast today. We're going out for breakfast. And we'd sit there and – I remember watching a Man U versus Newcastle match, and it was myself, my two daughters, and just some guy in a Manchester United kit just sitting there, just in stone silence, not saying anything to each other. Then the match is over. We lost, unfortunately, but good match. And then we took kids and we head home, and that was the day.
It'll be random, I know, but like, I actually know Omaha and Iowa quite well. My best friend lives there.
Yeah.
So I've been to like Council Bluffs and I've been to Omaha. Did you ever watch any matches over there? Because I've been to the Liverpool Bar and the Spurs Bar that are both in Omaha.
I'm actually from the eastern part of the state. My wife's actually from Omaha, so I know Omaha pretty well. But she showed me something on Facebook that there's a bar that a bunch of people meet up at, and I'm not sure which one it is, but I know roughly where it's at.
Okay, yeah. It's cool. I mean, obviously not Newcastle. It's like Spurs and Liverpool heavy over there, but, you know, probably not for long anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
that's cool, man. That's really cool. So let's jump over to Joe. Joe, how'd you become a Newcastle fan? How'd you get that black and white bug?
So it's kind of a long story, so bear with me. And also I'll try – with what I do for a living, I work on video all the time. So I'm going to look at the camera instead, and then not at you guys. So it looks like I'm talking to everyone. So here's how it goes. probably like 15, 16 years ago, I saw the 2005 Champions League final, Liverpool, AC Milan, just outstanding match. I never had any interest in the sport till then. And I was like, man, I really want to get into this. So I wanted to choose a team that wasn't huge, wasn't Manchester United, Liverpool, wasn't from London, like was a little bit more difficult to find so I could actually do my homework. I'm lazy though, so it took me a while to do that. So I kind of dug around and I, due to some really strange reasons, one of my favorite movies of all time is the original Get Carter with Michael Caine, filmed in Newcastle.
Yeah.
One of my favorite punk bands, the Angelic Upstarts, they're from South Shields. Yeah, great band. Even though amazing, I think a lot of, I read like a few years ago that a lot of them are Sunderland fans. Oh. But,
yeah, they're all Macos. They're from South Shields. They are all Macos.
Yeah, I read that. I was like really disappointed by that. But man, they're still amazing. And then the beer, you know, when I was like some young punk kid, I thought I was cool and was punk and drinking Newcastle when I was like 16. So just stupid.
You're my spirit animal, man.
Yeah. Just stupid reasons. But, you know, and then I went on YouTube and typed in like highlights and saw Alan Shearer just being a boss in front of the goal, like just doing his thing. And I was like, this is what the team I'm going to like. So like I said, I didn't put a lot of investment into it for a while. Like I'd check out the scores. I occasionally watch. There was a bar near my first house in Portland called the Horse Brass that would have matches, EPL matches. I could watch that. Yeah, I'm sure Brett knows what I'm talking about there. My old work, Beulah Land would as well put on matches if I asked. And then, so what happened from there, and then like 2011, 2012 season was fun, so I paid in more attention. But what happened was all my friends like get into clubs and finding podcasts overseas, learning about the game. And I really wanted to learn more about like, why is this happening and so on. So I stumbled upon True Faith, the podcast. Like, and just a world of knowledge from them. I've asked them questions. They've always answered really friendly, super knowledgeable. And I've just been listening to them for about two and a half years. And it's just grown. Now I'm like waking up at 4 a.m. to watch matches. I subscribe to Peacock so I can watch every single match. And then COVID hit and it was like, well, what the fuck am I going to do? You know, and they showed matches. I was listening more. I found more podcasts like Gallagate Shots, the Athletic one with Chris Woff and George Culkin and so on. And I'm hooked. Like, it's just, this is great. Like, I'm learning a lot about this. I didn't play the sport. I was more of a baseball fan growing up. And I'm learning a lot about it. It's just exciting. Even though we've been terrible. Like, it's like, oh, this is why we're terrible. Okay, that makes sense. This is why Steve Bruce is so awful. Like, cool, I get it. But now it's like we've had this huge change where we have new owners and Eddie Howson, which is super exciting.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I mentioned this, Brett, like I'm going to try to get over there next year to see a match finally for the first time. I've been to England a few times. I've never got that far north and it's time. And I love what I see. Like the fans are great. It's history. I mean, now we have all this potential for being really good. And, you know, it's just this fun thing I enjoy and I learn. And that's long story short, that's what it is.
That's awesome. You know, there's definitely bits of your story that most totally bleed into mine, right? We have very, very, very similar parallels. We'll I'm sure be able to pick those out.
Yeah.
That's cool. I mean, first off, definitely next time you go to England, go north.
That's what I'm doing. Oh, yeah. Land in London, take the train straight up. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's definitely worth it. Like, you know, I've been kind of all over. Obviously, I'm biased towards Newcastle, but it's nothing like down south. I tell everyone, I'm like, you know, like people like don't think to go there when they're traveling, especially going to England and stuff. And I'm like, it's this hidden gem in England that you have to experience. And then especially if you support Newcastle United, like you have to go.
I wanted to go. Like my wife and I went for a baby moon like 5 years ago, and they were in the championship. So. We couldn't go till after season's over, so we didn't go, and we just went elsewhere. But yeah, she was like, if your team's playing, like clearly we're gonna go north so you can see a match, but it didn't happen. But now you know she's basically like, go over there for a week. I'm so sick of you waking up at 4 a.m. or having me bugging me about going to watch matches with people even on Twitter and so on. So she's like, just do it. So.
All right. Yeah, well, she sounds like a total keeper, bro.
She deals with it. I deal with her reality show. She deals with me watching a sport all the way halfway across the world. So we're good.
Yeah, like what more could a Jordy ask for in a woman? It's either somebody that has the bug as well, or at least understands what it's like for us, right?
Yeah,
like,
no, she gets it. Absolutely. Like, absolutely.
One or the other. I don't know if it's going to work, right?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
That's cool. That's awesome. You know, it is. It's always interesting to just hear how, because we all kind of, it's weird. It's weird. It's like we all, like being over here, like, and it's why we love doing this podcast so much. It's like, it's so, like, no one has the same story with how they found Newcastle, right? Like, we get to find somebody that has the same story. And we love that, right? And that's just really interesting. There's also, you know, just for you, Joe, there's a great song in Newcastle.
Toy Dolls, Red Alert, we're from there. Well, I mean, yeah, lots of good bands. I was going to say one thing that really, I think this could apply to most American fans for the sport over there is, it's, I think especially in Newcastle, there's like a big, big community. And I feel like with Americans, like, we sometimes struggle with that. And I think that's what really drew me to like this team is like, especially the True Pape, like they all knew each other. They were open. They would engage and so on. Like I got on Twitter and follow people and ask them questions, get a response. Like it, you know, they'd ask like, why do you like this team? And I tell them like, oh, that's wonderful. And I think that's a big thing for people. Like we don't have that with American sports. Like my favorite baseball team, St. Louis, it does not exist. It is just, I like the team when they're good and it's great and that's fine. I love baseball, but you don't have that support that you have over in England, especially with Newcastle as well. And I think that is such a huge draw. And for me, it's a special feeling. And I think that I'm glad, you know, sounds like you three can really appreciate that. And you know, I certainly do as well. I think a lot of others do also.
Totally agree with that. And, you know, me and Rich have talked about that plenty. It really is like, they're really like community is something that, I'm glad to hear you say that too, because I always say it's California. Obviously I've only lived in California and England. Right. And I always thought that LA just, I mean, LA is so hard for that because it's such a spread out town, city
LA. Yeah. Oh, I can imagine. Yeah.
Whatever, yeah. And so like on a macro level in America, you're right there. We really do struggle with community and we really don't understand football passion. Right. And like that's why I always tell everybody that comes to San Diego and stuff like that, like, you know, like everyone's like, Shade, you're so welcoming and stuff like that. I'm like, well, I have to pay that forward because the Jordies were so welcoming to me and had no, there was no judgment. It was like, oh, you want to rep this crest too, dude? You want this name? All right, well, we welcome you, man. You're one of us. And I'm like, all right, let's do it, right? And so I totally agree with that sentiment. But you know, we want to learn more about Portland. And you know, you kind of mentioned it with your wife. She's like, you're always going to the pub to watch, you know, a game with people you meet on Twitter. And, you know, and that's something that all of us can relate to, I'm sure. So tell us, you know, both of you, tell us a little bit more about Tween Army Portland. I know that you guys have both been going since 2015, but did it start in 2015 or has it been going a lot longer?
It started in 2015. The guy that actually kind of kicked it off, his name's Matt. When Newcastle was doing the U.S. tour, he kind of helped spur on the Portland movement. And between him and Josh, which was going to try to join us, but unfortunately just didn't have the space. And then myself, we kind of were, oh, no, you're fine. We were kind of in the background, kind of helping him along. And then Matt just kind of hit a wall where he wasn't able to kind of bolster the Twitter following to get people to come out. And then he's just like, hey, is anybody willing to kind of help out? And so that's where I kind of jumped in and said, hey, I'll do what I can. And that's where I kind of made it a, I don't know, kind of a niche where, like, anybody that follows the Twitter feed, at least, they know it's, like, I'll send out some pithy little comical gif or whatever just to jab at people or just to kind of – Simon knows it better than anything because him and I have our infamous little Kevin Hart feeds of just
– Oh, yeah, you guys are always blowing out on the timeline. I see it, yeah.
So, yeah, it's like every, because we even had one of the guys from over in Newcastle, like, do you guys have a problem with each other? Like, what's going on? We're like, just go with it, man. Just go with it.
Yeah.
So, I've had people just join or like follow in. And then just from that, we've slowly had people come out to the come out to the bar.
And yeah, let's talk about the bar.
Well, we've kind of latched on to the Toffee Club just because it's one that's kind of a, it's an all-encompassing. One of the co-owners, she's from she's from Central. I think so. If I remember right, she's from Yorkshire or something like that. Don't quote me on that. But she went to Newcastle, or she went to Northumbria for college. So, so she knows what Newcastle's all about. Obviously, being going there for school and everything. And her and I talked like right after the takeover occurred. She's just like, how do you feel about this? And we both kind of was like, well, let's see how it all pans out. Obviously, there's the whole political side, which we all have been beaten over the head with from every angle, from all the journalists from here, there, and everywhere. That whole bar is very welcoming. Where they've got, they used to host the Tottenham supporters, but Tottenham kind of scurried off to another place after COVID hit, which thank God.
I
would agree with that. So I thought the Toffee Club was an Everton pub at first. Right?
It kind of is. That's when I first saw it pop up when I used to deliver beer around there. So I all of a sudden like, are we seriously having an Everton bar right in the middle of the area? But no, it wasn't necessarily that. But a lot of Everton supporters actually, they run a place called Beer Monger, so a bottle shop and a growler fill. So they kind of bounce between the two places, and then they show a lot of the Manchester games just because of the crowd support. You got to cater to your clientele, which makes sense. But with Nikki, she's very welcoming just because she knows, like, hey, I've been there. I know this is kind of, I've latched onto it too. So anytime you guys need a screen, we'll do what we can. I'm like, hey, thanks. That's all we can ask for.
Yeah, so that's great. So what does like a typical match day look like for you guys?
It depends on the day, depends on start times for sure.
Yeah.
For the 7 o'clock games, it's a little like, especially depending on the weather as well, it can be a little rough. But the West Coast feel, especially up here, it's very how many people decide they want to roll out of bed and actually go sit at a bar versus do we just want to kick it on the couch and watch it at home? So it's kind of varying, but I've seen some new faces because we have one guy that came up from San Diego that's living up here now. He was at one of the at the match that.
Yeah, I think that's Shane.
So it's slowly building. I give it some time. Just once we get, like you said, once we get the team behind it, the team starts showing some promise on the pitch. Let's see what happens from there.
Yeah, that's true. Do you have anything to add to that? Go ahead.
I've only been since COVID. I've only gone out once to meet up with Brett once. So hopefully more help in Brentford in a couple weeks or next week rather. I mean, my it's just kind of the same. Like, I like matches at 4 a.m. to be quite honest, because like no one's awake in my home. Like when I watch them at 6 and 7 a.m., my kids are up and it's cool. But it's, you know, got to tend to my kids. So anyone as a father or a parent knows how that is. But what I also do is I record them so I can watch them late at night when everyone's asleep. So I really like to focus, like just see like what I'm missing, picking up, seeing if formations changes, see if I can, you know, just really understand what's happening. And so it's, you know, obviously it's different than actually living over there and going to a live match. But I don't have any like experience of like going out to a bar or pub, whatever you want to call it, before the match or going out afterwards. Hopefully soon that will change for me. But it's like a lot of people here in the States, like early mornings or late nights, one of the two. So
it's tough. And it's like, it's my, and me and Rich have talked about it. It's our biggest fear on a totally selfish level, because we have lots of fears about being relegated. But we're so grateful for the momentum that like Toon Army San Diego's picked up, that we don't want that to be deflated by a relegation. I mean, a relegation would deflate so many things for us, but more specifically, like, you know, we wouldn't be able to get the numbers that we get to the pub, and we know that if the match isn't on TV. Like, you know, everyone goes for the banter, they go to hang out, and they go because we try to make it very community like and everything like that, and we have a great neutral bar. But if the match isn't on, you're not gonna feel as compelled to go for a match as they am, right? Mm-hmm. And it is tough, you know, and I mean, you know, and then of course you guys are battling, you know, the weather elements that we do not have out here at all.
Go on the beach. Yeah, exactly.
Right. So how many members do you guys have currently? I mean, you know, and I know that you don't have, you know, sometimes you don't have everyone showing up every week. That's okay. Well, you know, on average, like what's your membership looking like?
I've seen the most, I think I've seen actual supporters, and this was probably right before COVID, was maybe 15 or so were showing up, but it would depend. There'd be somewhere, it'd be four or five. There'd be somewhere, just be one or two people. Just it's, and when it's full strength, we've got a decent little base, but it's a lot of people. It's Portland's, like you said about LA, there's a lot of spread. It's hard to get people to jam into inner southeast when, one, there's not a lot of parking. Two, it's not convenient for somebody that's on the far west side. Like Josh, one of the kind of the co-conspirators, if you will, he lives about an hour away from downtown. Myself, I'm about a half hour, 40 minutes.
Oh, I see. Okay.
30 minutes. I live in, I just moved out to Hillsborough, the west suburbs. Yeah, it's 30 minutes to downtown Portland. Wow.
So if you're not in the inner core, it's a lot harder to just say, hey, let's pack up shop and head to a bar and go watch a match. But you got to do what you got to do some days.
I'm staying in the Alphabet District.
Yeah, you're Northwest. Yep.
Mm-hmm. How far is that away from the club? The topic.
You're like 10 minutes, maybe 5-10 minutes.
You're not far.
Rich, you should go for a pint there at least.
They have a really good stout, actually. Yeah, you should absolutely go.
Yeah,
that's really good.
He likes a stout as well. I mean, we all do. I'm actually going. Yeah. I'm going to a stout taster after this.
Last night I had a sample of the nice Deschutes.
Deschutes is good. Yeah, Deschutes is a good one. Yeah, good. They're out of Bend, but they have a brewery here. They're really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. I've been exploring the town a little bit. Lots of bridges. It actually reminds me of Newcastle a little bit. Very gray.
I've been told that actually.
Very gray. A lot of bridges and a lot of river. You know.
So yeah, tons. Mm-hmm.
Those are three massive characteristics for sure. You know, it's a shame because, like, when Rich told me he was going out, I was like, wait, one weekend. I was like, are you going to be there for Brentford? Like, you should go meet up with the Toon Army Portland guys. And he's like, international break. And I'm like, mate, I was like, you've made a mistake. You made a mistake. I was like, I don't care that your missus is out there. You should book it a week later.
I'll come back next week.
Please. Yeah.
So I want to be mindful of time because I know that we don't have too much time with you guys. But you have given us a kind of brief overview of how you guys operate, how you guys became fans, what it looks like for a match day, and what your home is like in terms of a match day home, I mean, at the Toffee Club. I think we should talk a little bit about, like, what your aspirations for the future of not only our club, but our, you know, our organization, our fan base, our brand, you know, like, maybe talk a little bit about that and what you're hoping, you know, that brings to Portland for you guys, because we do like to bring that up to every group, because we all have ideas, right? Like we've been scraping the bottom of the barrel forever, you know, or what it feels like forever. And so I always want to try to end the podcast with that kind of, you know, whether it's optimistic or not, that kind of you know, question.
For me personally, what I would like to see is just remember where we came from. Obviously, for the past 14 years, it's been, minus a year or two, it's been just absolute misery.
Yeah.
Well, it's just keep us grounded. Obviously, keep in mind, keep the vision of what was put forth by Sir Bobby, King Kev, that whole group. Obviously, 50, 60 years prior when we actually won something, none of us know what that's all about. So it's just a matter of let's see. Keep grounded, keep our heads about ourselves. If all of a sudden we shoot up, obviously there's going to be so much flack heading our way. Yes. We're going to get all the plastic comments thrown at us like Manchester City has, Chelsea has. Yeah, it's kind of like relish it a little bit, but still it's just kind of like, let's see what happens.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I think that, you know, and we haven't gotten that one yet. I think that's great. I think that we do, you know, and I'm really optimistic that that will always be, because, you know, I think that Newcastle United culture is so ingrained in the culture of being a Geordie, and yeah. Geordies are so proud of where they come from, and rightfully so. But I think that that's the one thing I don't worry about. I think that the Geordies will always remember where they come from. And regardless of whether we do become like a Man City, I don't think that I personally don't think that there is ever going to be a future where other football club supporters are able to say that we have the fan base that Man City has, because I only see our fan base is stronger than City's through all this turmoil. And I only see that growing and getting better. But it is good to remind people to, you know, we do have to keep a level head. We do have to remember where it came from, specifically in the States where that Geordie blood doesn't run as rich, right? And we do have to remember that. We have to hold on to our roots. And I think it's really one of the responsibilities of fans like us who have been here through the Mike Ashley era and know that turmoil to carry that on, right? And remember that. And remember, hey, man, you know, like, I remember listening to the radio during the championship, you know, when radio was way already outdated just to get a match in.
TuneIn has been a godsend plus a curse for listening to Newcastle, whether it's commentary from various pundits, but actually picking up some of the match play. That's actually for the prior to NBC picking up the TV rights. That was kind of my Saturday mornings. I would actually find extra shifts for work just to go in, kick on the radio at 3 or 4 in the morning and just listen to match day. Just the lead up, and then actually, hey, Newcastle's actually going to be on. I'll flip it on to the channel that has Newcastle. Listen to some random guy that has no clue what Newcastle's all about trying to give a commentary for the match. And then once in a while you get decent commentary and be like, oh, okay, these guys actually know what's going on. Right. So there was many a Saturday or a Sunday where you're just kind of like, at least I could pick up something.
That's what it is. That's passion. That's the passion we all know. What about you, Joe? What are your hopes?
My hopes are. Oh, sorry for cutting you off.
No, not at all. I talk too much.
So Brett kind of talked about just knowing where he came from, but I also say keep it authentic. So keep it real. Like you're liking this team because you like this team, not because they're the flavor of the month. Something that's really big for me. You know, you do it because you enjoy it as well, not because you're supposed to or whatever. And then also remembering, you know, like you said, remembering where you came from, like, and then being inclusive and being open and sharing that. And then also being open to new fans as well, whether they might seem like they're plastic or not, but being that person that can like show them the ropes and just really help them get into the club as much as we have gotten in this club. And then I'm going to steal something from the Portland Timbers supporters group, the Timbers Army. I'm a Timbers fan as well. Okay. And they talk about they want to be the world's best fans. And I agree with that. Like we support them as much as we possibly can. And I think that that's for me is a goal in that sense. And it might be limited being in Portland and not anywhere in Newcastle, but based on the things I just mentioned, that's the best I can do for now. And be open to try things and go from there.
I totally agree. I mean, first off, we are the world's best fans. but no, I totally agree with everything that you said as well. You know, it is really important for us to not only remember where we've come and carry on that memory, but also, yeah, set the tone, set the example, be the people that lead, you know, because it's inevitable. We're going to get new fans and yeah, they aren't going to know the ropes. And yeah, maybe they've never been to a match and that, yeah, this and that and stuff like that. But like, I know I will always remember that there was a moment in my life where I didn't know anybody. You know, there was a moment in my life where I met John Beresford and didn't know who that was. And that's embarrassing, you know, and my friends love to give me shit about it. But I'll also own that because it still rings true to my story about how, you know, Geordie still took me in and took me as who I was, and they didn't judge me. They educated me and they gave me that passion. And that's our responsibility as well. I think that's great too. That's one we haven't gotten to. And then, so well done at Portland.
Amazing.
Thank you.
I know we have a limited time window with both of you, and we are really, really grateful for your time. Before we close up and wrap up and do kind of our little tidbits that we got to do, do you guys have any final things that you'd like to say?
No clue right at the moment.
I mean, the future looks bright, and I hope to God we start attacking, like, just as far as some goals. Like, that's all we fucking need right now. Yeah.
Front foot soccer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Front foot footy. Let's get a win.
Yeah. Let's get some points. Yeah. Get out not relegated.
Brentford next week.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. 100%.
Cool. Rich, you got anything before we wrap it up?
No, that, I mean, that's it. That, just let's get a win. It's a must. Like, yes. Eddie Howe has had them on the training pitch this morning.
Oh, beautiful. Yes. That was great. God, it's so nice seeing those clips.
Oh. Sorry, the stadium.
Yep.
It's been on the training pitch all week. But they've been doing...
The first for a manager in a while.
They did, actually, the first day. I don't know if anyone...
Beat test,
right. Yes.
Carl Darlow, the picture of him looking like he's about to just puke all over the place.
Grow up.
Good. Good. Get him in shape.
Shelby is like there just going, I need that fucking run. So, like, so little things like that. He's had them on and like open their eyes to, hey, guys, you can try another system. So, and all that. And then just getting them, lifelike experiences like this is what it's going to be like on Saturday. You guys, it's a must. It's not like, well, we'll try. No. Or we hope, as Steve Bruce says. No, we hope. No.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. That's it. Must win. We've got to do it. You know, I just want to say, Brett, Joe, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Army Portland. I know that, you know, I know personally, and Rich knows personally, and I'm pretty sure that any American Toon Army supporter knows as well. Like, there are weeks where the numbers are low. There are weeks where it does feel isolating, and there are 4 a.m. kickoffs where you watch it on your couch and no one understands why you're up that early. but that's part of having that passion, having that bug, and living in the States, especially on we live on the best coast, but also the worst coast if you're a football fan.
It's terrible.
You know, that just comes with the territory, and it's always just so it's always just such an honor and such a privilege to not only be able to connect with fans all over the country, but to be able to learn you guys' story and talk more with you guys. And better days are coming. You know, we keep the faith, we show the way, and it's been fantastic getting to know you guys. You know, send me all your socials and stuff like that. We want to blow up Toon Army Portland because we know you guys are going to have more supporters. Brentford next Saturday, must win. Eddie Howe's first match. We're at home. Let's roll on through this international break and get 3 points on the board.
Absolutely, 100%.
All right. Thank you so much, Toon Army Portland. Appreciate you guys. Thank you, Gallagate Shots, again for taking care of us, putting this together, and
thank you.
And
yeah, absolutely.
Providing an avenue for U.S.-based Toon Army supporters to unite and talk about our story and get our content out there and our voices out there. Really massively appreciative of that. And thanks to my co-host, Rich. Couldn't do this without you. He set this whole episode up himself because I just started a new job and I was super busy. Done, Rich. He had to deal with me micromanaging him all week.
It's okay. I'm used to it. I'll be up here. I'll be up here a lot more. I am coming around for any listeners. Like, share, subscribe to the channel. If you're a lonely Newcastle fan in somewhere in Montana, let us know, because this thing's, you know, we want to hear from you. So keep this Toon Army growing.
Yeah, and in the new year, me and Rich are planning on I'm planning on actually coming out. Like, Portland's on my list, but we're definitely
come on up, man.
Doing some Toon Army tourism.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. Take care. Have a great rest of your weekend. Toon Army,
love
you all. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back shortly with another great episode for you all. Thanks again, Gallagate Shots. Hoy the lads.
See ya.